Hi everybody, welcome to Tuesday, what is today, the 9th of April. You made it through the eclipse. I'm proud of you, as Mr. Rogers would say. You know, I'm proud of you. Just want to welcome you today. We have a lot of good things going on. I'm wearing a dark blue against a dark blue background. I guess all you can see is my head, but there you go. We're going to pick up here in James or Jacob chapter 3. We're going to pick up with verse 13 and we'll probably read it through the end of the chapter. And I want to say this about that. God is doing some great things through the teachings, through the different things that are happening. And I am in total amazement by it all. I sit here and I just go, you know, God, if there was anything that I can say, it's like the Lord's been really teaching me through his word. He's been helping me through his word. And I hope it's been helping you as well. So here we are. We are in James or Jacob chapter 3. Go ahead and go to tomandsarah@outlook.com if you want to contact me for any reason. Or if you want the links in order to give into this ministry, to give into my school for next year, be greatly appreciated. Also, if there is a question that you may have or you want to give your life to Jesus, yeah, feel free to contact me and then we can go from there. TomandSarah@outlook.com. Subscribe, like, comment, and share to these videos or to my podcast, Tom and Sarah, or here on YouTube, Tom and Sarah, or comment, share the videos on Facebook, whatever you want to do, or even you can copy the link and send it to Instagram. So in James or Jacob, chapter 13, and before we get there, I want to say one other thing. God's promises are yes, and they're waiting for our amen. They're waiting for our acknowledging that, yes, God, so be it, that we believe him. Remember, it was the woman at the woman with the issue of blood that ran to Jesus. And if I can just touch the hem of his garment, you know, she will be healed. And Jesus said, let it be done to you as you believed it would be. Emma Rose, here at Bethel, her song "Promises Never Fail." She sings this part that our weapons are the promise. I'm going to fight with the promise. My weapons are the promise, and we just go after the promise of God. God has promised, and he is faithful. I've been believing God. Somebody prophesied over me, and. You know, and I take it as a word from the Lord that somebody's going to pay off my schooling. And I appreciated that. It was like, and they came to me last night and they said, have you received your money yet? They have an expectancy. I have an expectancy that God's going to provide all 55 more $100 that I need. All right. So in chapter 3, verse 13, if you consider yourself to be wise, and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it, how? With a beautiful, fruitful life. With a beautiful, fruitful life. That's how it's translated from the Aramaic. Guided by wisdom's gentleness, never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you are or you're truly wise. Now, one of the things that gets to me is when people post, when they want to say you are, they just go Y-O-U-R instead of Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. So that's kind of funny. Never brag or boast about what you've done and you'll prove that you're truly wise. We don't brag about what we do. You know, one of my prayers has always been, Lord, my vow is to give you all the glory. We vow to give you all the glory for how we turn out in our life. how we've made it through our life. We vow. And really, that is a key right there. Hang on a second. That is a key that we have to look at, is that, yes, we vow to give God all the glory. Amen? And this way, we will truly prove that we're wise. You know, this wisdom from above, this wisdom of God. Jesus didn't have to brag about who he was. He just said who he was. Now, remember, pride isn't, I mean, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is accepting and receiving yourself the way you are. You're not thinking more of yourself, and you're not thinking less of yourself. That's how we ought to be. But if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony. For that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. Wow, it's both unspiritual, and it behaves like the demons do. The demons are selfish. The demons are boastful. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never boasts, does not boast of itself, does not behave itself unseemly, and is never jealous. Remember, everybody thinks that the kingdom of darkness is this well-oiled machine, and it's not. Remember, one-third of the angels went with Lucifer. And don't think for a minute that they all were just going to have everything in order and everything else. No, all of them were in rebellion. And if you're in rebellion in one thing, you're going to be rebellious in everything else. And you have to understand that. This boasting and being phony and trying to be something you're not, okay, is nothing but what happens in hell. So whenever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. Wow, the Greek word for jealousy here implies an obsession to promote yourself above somebody else or at the expense of somebody else. And this thing about troubles is just like total chaos, instability, and disorder. You will also find this chaos. But the wisdom from above is always pure. It's always holy. It's always set apart. Filled with peace, considerate, and teachable. I like that word, teachable. It's easy to correct. It's ready to convince or willing to yield to others. And you have to ask yourself, is this true for me? Are you teachable? Hear what I have to say here. This is important. You know, don't think that you've already arrived. Paul didn't. You know, he pressed on to the higher calling of God. Be teachable. If somebody sees something in you, hear it and be teachable about it. Don't just let it fly by, you know, just fly by. That's it. You know, it's all good. No. Hear me when I say this. It's teachable. It's considerate. It said, if somebody says something to you, you just kind of go, you know, and a lot of people, they just kind of like, you know, and I remember this one person came up to me a number of years ago and they said, Tom, you don't really love yourself. They said, Tom, you don't really love yourself. I said, what are you talking about? I don't love myself. Of course I love myself. And they said, you don't really love yourself. And I'm like, okay, let me check. I mean, I didn't say that out loud. I just, you know, went to the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, what about this? And the Holy Spirit, yeah, you don't love yourself. You need to love yourself. So I took that. And then weeks later, and I told them, you know, yeah, you know, I have to learn. And so the Lord gave me something to do, you know, gave me direction to go and find out how to love myself. And I did that. I went to those people and asked for help, and they helped. I remember, you know, this whole thing about being teachable in this is understanding that God uses people. And the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom, he says in Proverbs. Now, it doesn't mean just anybody. Go to people you trust. I have a guy in New Jersey that I trust with my life, him and his wife. We've been friends for about 50 years now, and maybe just a little over 50 years. It's been incredible. Wisdom from above is always holy. It's always pure. And Paul says in Philippians, whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. It's filled with peace. It's filled with the shalom of God. It's filled with making us whole. It's considerate. It considers the other person, and it is teachable. Lord, teach me. No man is an island, and all scripture is inspired by God, and it says this. It's for training in righteousness, among other things. So what is this? Is this wisdom from above? It is filled with love. It is filled with mercy and never displays prejudice or hypocrisy. It never wears a mask. You know, integrity, somebody says integrity is you are the same person when you put your head on the pillow at night and close your eyes as you are during the day when you're wide awake. It never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. Now, you know, we go to our society today, and believe me, there's tons of hypocrisy. There's tons of prejudice. On every side, every camp is prejudice that I've seen. Every camp has had its hypocrisy. And I always say, you know, if you live in a glass house, you shouldn't throw stones. I want to address something here. Joel Osteen, and I was watching this video, because I'm kind of concerned in about him. And they said that he's a false teacher, and the video clip that they used was when he said that he believed, his opinion, he believed that everybody is good and has a good heart. All right, and good, they have it in them to be good. Now the Bible says, and I thought, first of all, let me just be very clear. I thought, first of all, that that was a weak testimony against him. Because I tend to believe that God created us in his image. And if he created us in his image, there is goodness inside of us that has been dampened or snuffed out by either our environment or our choices or whatever. But we all have the ability to turn around. I turned around. I know many people who have turned around. I'm going to brag on B.J. Thomas, and B.J. Thomas had a lifestyle of drugs back in the 60s and 70s, early 70s. And he gave his heart to Jesus, and the night he gave his heart to Jesus, he threw his drugs in the toilet. The thing is, we may have good in us, but what happens is that we don't tap into it. What we do is we turn to other things. And when we turn to Jesus, we turn back to how he created us. Isaiah says, there is none righteous. There's none. I mean, not that, but all. He says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and that's different than being good. Now, I knew this lady in New Jersey, she was in Maplewood, New Jersey. And a lot of people said this about her, that she is just a good woman. She gives, she feeds, she does all this stuff, but she wasn't born again. And I said, if she is that good without Jesus, imagine how good she would be with Jesus. There are people who do good that don't know Jesus. And yet, in God's eyes, God sees it and he says, all of your righteousness, all of your goodness is like filthy rags and you can't earn your way to heaven. And I believe that that's where Joel Osteen was going with that statement. You can't take a snippet that short. I have this optimistic view of people. I always dig for the gold in them. Joel Osteen, I believe, is digging for the gold in people and trying to pull it out and giving them Jesus to help them pull this out. I don't think he's a hypocrite. And you can disagree with me, that's fine. And I don't know where his stand is with the Lord or anything like that. I don't have a book of life on me. But I do know this, that statement in and of itself is not enough for me to say that this guy is a hypocrite and a false teacher. They said the same thing about Catherine Coleman because she was a divorcee. Boy, how times have changed. What's wrong? Tell me, people, what is wrong with somebody believing the best for you and trying to pull out the gold in you, the thing that God placed in there before the foundations of the world, when you were still in your mother's womb and he knit you together? God believes in you. Remember, Jesus believed in Judas. Do you think that Jesus was taken by surprise that Judas was a thief and stole the money? When he made him the accountant for the ministry, he had Matthew for crying out loud. But he chose Judas because he believed in Judas. God believes in you. God believes in you. I know I made somebody mad with that, but that's okay. Wisdom from above is filled with love and never displays prejudice. And my question to the naysayers of all these people that say that so-and-so is a false prophet or a false teacher, I'm wondering, are you praying for them? Enough said. And so this wisdom from above, verse 18, always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Always, not partially, but always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. We have a lot of contention in the church. You know, everybody's trying to correct so-and-so. Everybody's trying to, you know, outdo so-and-so. I'm going to be a better prophet than so-and-so. Who cares? Where's the love, man? James said it before, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith with my works. Wisdom is shown by your beautiful, fruitful life. Does that mean you're not going to get taken advantage of? Probably not. If you're being good and if you're being believing the best in people, do you think people will let you down? Of course they will. We're humans. But Jesus, I always say, but the blood of Jesus. Always, the blood of Jesus. This wisdom's fruit has good seed in it. And it will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. The people of peace will always plant peaceful acts. And what you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow peace, you're going to reap peace. If you sow contention, you're going to reap contention. If you sow prejudice, you're going to reap prejudice. If you sow hypocrisy, you're going to reap hypocrisy. There are many, many rich people, I believe, in our society today that have paid for rioting, that have subsidized evil and wicked and theft. God's going to get them back. But I believe that inside of them, that there is something good, because if there wasn't anything good, then that means that God created evil. And God never created evil. Evil came from poor choices. Evil came because people made the wrong choice. And it became their lifestyle. Yes, Adam did sin. But, everybody say but. And I love God's but. The blood of Jesus took care of all of that. Going back to chapter 2, verse 24 of James, he says, so now it's clear. It's clear. There's no mistaking. The person is seen as righteous in God's eyes, not merely by faith alone or by the words that they say, but by their works, by their actions. And I remember telling you this song that Keith Green wrote, Asleep in the Light, you know, where people came to us and we just said, God bless you, be at peace. George Mueller said he never asked God to meet a need that he didn't, that he had the ability to meet. All right, I made y'all mad enough today. I just want you to know the power of God is in you. And he wants to fill you with his wisdom. James said it earlier, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives us an abundance. I ask the Lord every day, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I had a period of time a few years ago when the Holy Spirit would wake me up at like 3 a.m. and he would literally give me the instructions for the day. And that's great. And I really honor, and I, okay, let's do that. Let's do that. And I believe that God gives us instructions for the day. But then after a while, the Holy Spirit, you know, told me this. I mean, it was a process, but he told me this. He said, what kind of a friend would I be if it was about me all the time? Let's do something you want to do. It blew my mind. God wants to participate with you in some things that you'd like to do and your desires. And yes, sometimes we'll go, you know, it'll be a mistake or something like that. But and not to get weird about it, but it's true. This is how we have to go. You know, you do something. You know, you're asking Lord for wisdom. God, give me wisdom on what to do here. Give me wisdom on what to say here. And God will do it. And if you miss it, God is a little bigger than our mistakes. He's bigger than our sin. And the Bible says his blood covers all of our sin. And because of it, we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And God made provision. God made provision for us. He already knew we were going to make the mistakes we were going to make. Anyway, that's all we're going to do today. We're going to pick up chapter 4 the next time. Understand that there is something has to do in wisdom and seeking God's wisdom for the day. Or in a situation, what's best to do? You know, now this weekend, I'll be really honest with you, this weekend did something maybe I didn't want to do. And it turned out to be a bigger fiasco than if I had done what I had initially planned to do. But do you think that God was stymied by that? God was bigger than all of that. It's teachable. Somebody come up to me, Tom, maybe you should have. Yeah, I know, you're right. Let's pray. And that's really all that we really need to do. The good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com is how to get a hold of me. And and you feel free to do that. I'm going to school next year. I'm asking you to donate into that ministry, into that part of my life. And so if you want to do that, Tom and Sarah at Outlook.com. All right. Well, God bless you guys. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.